This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. Epi Lederer was Ann Landers. Her column ran in newspapers around the country for decades. She responded to the letters of readers with helpful advice and wit. But Epi Lederer was quite a letter writer herself. Her daughter and only child, Margot Howard, was the recipient of many a letter from her mother, and now Howard has collected this correspondence for the book A Life in Letters, Ann Landers' Letters to Her Only Child. The publisher is Warner. This correspondence offers readers an accidental memoir, a revealing and spontaneous memoir. Margot Howard is a journalist and the author of her own advice column. She's the author of the Dear Prudence column for Slate.com, which is featured in 200 newspapers and on NPR. And I'm happy to welcome Margot Howard to the Afternoon Magazine. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure.
You say the greatest compliment that your mother paid someone was to say he or she was a mensch.
Yes.
And it seems to me that through these letters, we see that your mom was a mensch.
She cared very much about being the best person she could be. The concept mattered to her, and she found ways to put it into practice. And it's interesting, the way she got into the idea of be a mensch, I believe this is in the book, that her parents spoke, they had come from Russia,
mm-hmm.
and they spoke Russian and German and Yiddish, really till she was 6 or 7 before they got the hang of English properly. And one phrase stuck in her mind. In the German, it would be sei ein Mensch, which she knew was be a person, but she said, well, everybody is a person. And then she started to look underneath the phrase for what did it mean. And that was something that she picked up as a very young child. Be a mensch, be a real person.
Yeah, she thought it was important for folks to make the world a better place, too. And that's something that she drove home to you big time in these letters. For instance, the letters in the first section of the book, Letters to You in College, stress work and frugality.
Yes, well, I was sort of the adored and pampered only child, and she wanted to counteract that some way by putting good values in my head and letting me know that everybody didn't have the life that I had. She was just a wonderful mother, and I think that's one of the reasons that I put this book together, because it really shows her as a member of the family, as my mother, as well as a newspaper woman and a citizen of the country, and she had many hats, as it were.
Yeah. Another thing that comes through is the tremendous energy she had and the determination. What was a day in her life like?
Well, interesting. She used to say that she had an extra set of glands. I do not have her energy. I don't know many people who do. In my first book, 20-some years ago, which was a family memoir, I decided that people who are very high achievers have a neurotic motor. And her neurotic motor was to have an identity apart from that of her twin sister, which unfortunately she wouldn't allow because she followed her into the same work. But she would say, if you want something done, ask a busy person. She was a very good manager of her time. There was a lot that she wanted to do, so she made the time to see that she could do it.
Yeah. What was it like for you growing up as the daughter of Ann Landers?
Well, it's interesting. She went to work as Ann Landers when I was 15. So as any 15-year-old will tell you, they're on their way to being formed as personalities. I was very happy when she went to work, because I'm not one of those kids who could say, oh, nobody ever paid attention to me. She was lasering in on me, being an only child. So her going to work was a gift from the gods. Although I must say, before she had the job of Ann Landers, she was the Uber volunteer. She was always terribly busy. Her days were really full of volunteer work until she went to work.
Yeah, and once she went to work, though, she was still doing that Uber volunteer thing, only she was getting involved in higher echelons of organizations.
You are right. That is interesting. She felt it incumbent on her, as she became more prominent, to be medically educated, and she made it her business to learn sort of layman's medicine, if you will, so she could do her work in the best way she could. And she wound up serving on the Overseers Committee of Harvard Medical School for 22 years, which was a record. And I bumped into a cardiologist a few years ago at one of the Boston hospitals at a meeting, and he said, I want to tell you, I addressed the visiting committee people every couple of years. He said Epi was the only one who ever knew what I was talking about.
Mm. Like your mom, you write an advice column. What did you learn from her about writing a column?
I don't think I learned directly from her about writing a column. And I hid from writing advice for 30 years. I had a straight newspaper and a magazine mm-hmm. career. But I just think that, well, as she used to say, there's much of me in you. And I think whatever I got in terms of writing advice was absorbed. Something she said just in general was, you know, fewer words are better than more. Plain words are better than $2 words. Be direct, and I think I'm able to do my advice column because I grew up with such an amazing mother and because I've had a lot of experience. I'm a major old bag. I am 63.
That's not old. Come on.
Okay.
Your mother, what did you learn from her? How did being her daughter affect how you raised your kids?
Well, that's interesting. She was a much more conscientious mother than I was, and she would say with great affection, Margot's children were raised by wolves. I was much more permissive than she was.
Yeah.
She thought that I should stress intellectual matters with them earlier than I did, and she thought I should be a tougher taskmaster. But we were on a different footing somehow. I had three kids in 5 years. And I was much more casual. And also, I went to work for the Tribune and then the Chicago Daily News when my kids were little. So we had a little bit of a different mm-hmm. mindset happening and different things were going on in our lives.
Yeah. I enjoyed learning about her fondness for the fax machine. But she didn't go for email.
Honey, she wouldn't have an answering machine. And then I said, Mother, there's these fabulous phones. You know, you can put in the numbers and they'll speed dial. She said, I can dial faster than the phone can. She wanted nothing to do with anything beyond a fax. And even with the fax machine, she would need help from a man who worked in the house for her. I mean, she really couldn't manage with technical things. So forget about email.
Yeah. Her letters to you were not on any kind of fancy stationery, but I guess that she did enjoy nice stationery, and she certainly enjoyed picking some stationery up at the White House.
Yes, that was part of her frugality, I think. And she would remark on, and the funny thing is this book goes back to when I was 18, the letters started,
right.
And the prices are so different. She would say, now, what did you do in the drugstore for $17.30? and things cost so much less. She would say, you charge three pairs of slippers
right.
for $19.
I'll give you the money for one pair. Take the other two back.
Right, right. She was trying to instill some kind of financial responsibility in my head, and she may have failed.
Well, everybody has their failures.
Yes.
You saved every letter that she wrote you, and, you know, that's something I think, going back to, you know, an 18-year-old's mindset. When did you think about publishing them?
Well, I didn't know I had been saving them until I was in my mid-40s, and all I could figure out was that they were just too good to part with, so I would throw them in a drawer, throw them in a box, and when I moved from L.A., we started to split time between Connecticut and California, I discovered this big file box that had moved with me was full of letters from her. And at that point in my mid-40s, when I would get letters from her, I would consciously save them, but I initially did it with really no thought. And I think from the time that I knew that I had years and years of letters, I thought, this is truly amazing, because Mother certainly had a healthy ego, but I don't think she understood her historical importance, that she was such a player in cultural America for the last half of the last century. And I thought, these are really not only valuable but interesting documents. It shows the woman that a lot of people felt they already knew.
Yeah. Now, speaking of her importance to the culture, you know, a lot of people are known to have a column in their wallet or taped to the fridge.
Yeah.
Is there a column that you have tucked away?
No, but I tell you what I do have tucked away. I have the original typescript of the very famous and very emotional divorce column when she announced that she and my father were parting after 36 years. I, of course, read it in the paper, but I treasure the original with all her scratched out words and her editing pencil marks. And that really had to do with our family. So I think that's the one that has the most meaning for me.
Yeah. There we have to leave it. We're out of time, I'm sorry to say. Margot, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Margot Howard has been our guest. She is the compiler of A Life in Letters, Ann Landers' Letters to Her Only Child. The book is published by Warner Books.